he might help us this night and direct us in the 11th chapter of Hebrews and the 16th verse. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 16. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. And now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. In this wonderful chapter, where the apostle speaks out concerning the virtues of a God-given faith to the Lord's dear people, faith to trust in him, faith to trust in him in all the conflicts in life's journey, faith to trust in his precious promises that they will never fail, faith, I say, to hold on when those conflicts and troubles rage, that though they stand alone among men, yet the Lord is with them still. And when we look at this, we may well say, and what happens when all this comes to pass? What will be the end of these things? And what shall be profitable to God or to man through all the conflicts of life? Well, let me just say this one thing. God will make known to us that his mind, his purposes, his thoughts will stand forever and endure forever. But what we might think and hope for, how often they do not come to pass. And oh, how to prove that truth, that my thoughts are not your thoughts, or your ways my ways, saith the Lord. So here the apostle says, but now things have turned out differently and materialized completely a different way to what we thought. And therefore, we have no desire to continue in this world. Or perhaps to put it another way, no desire to have an everlasting dwelling place here before. I say, what a merciful change when thus we are brought to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, that these things may be added unto us. But now we may look back at our own situation, your situation, and what the Lord has dealt with you and brought you in. Dost thou remember the days of thy youth, those early days, those great ambitions that we might have had? And there we find that we are far removed from them. I have come across people, yea, many, and because things haven't gone their way, and they've laboured in vain to obtain those things, they're full of enmity, yes, and spitefulness towards God. I say, therefore, there's been no change in their heart and in their life, though there may have been a change in their circumstances. How is it with you now? Because I say there is a difference among the people of God, because he teaches them in such ways as could not ever be imagined. How oft times we have said, why am I passing through this? Why has all this come upon me? Friend, is it not the Lord's determination and purpose, yea, to teach his people, especially when they were walking contrary to his mind and will, when they were full of covetousness, seeking for the things of this life, seeking for a prominence among men, seeking indeed to be thought well of among men? But now, oh, I say, what a change that is that comes upon them. I put it this way. I knew a dear man in the West Country. He was so angry and cross with the itinerant preacher that was there that day. He said he wouldn't go and hear him in the evening. And so he went out of Swindon, he said, and he hoped everybody would look at him and admire his new car and see what a great and successful man he was in business. And so he went down to Chippenham, where a preacher was there, and he took his text, "For she was a sinner." And there that night the Lord dealt with him severely, yet lovingly. He brought him down his own estimation. But now, when he went home, there was only one high in his esteem. But now he didn't want to be like he was when he came out of Swindon that night. So deeply was he affected. He said he had to wait till it was dark. He couldn't bear the thought of anybody looking upon such a hypocrite as he. But now, the Lord changed him. The Lord altered him. The Lord worked deeply in his heart and convinced him of his own sin and shame. Oh, can it be said, but now you do not seek the things of this life. You do not want indeed to have the best of all things in this life, but you seek a better country. How often we find at this time of year, and we have been guilty ourselves, where we've laid much stress upon where we might have a holiday, and rest and change is the fond word that is used. But how oft times those occasions have been a gross disappointment. They haven't lived up to what we expected them to be. I say, but now, do you seek a country whose builder and whose maker is God? Do you seek a country where sin shall never come? How often we found ourselves in places and have had to cry out within, can ever God dwell here? A godless company, godless association, godless conflicts within our own heart. Oh, to mourn over our own wretched self and foolishness. But God, now God has made the change. Oh, I say, what a blessing that is. But now, was there not a time when you despised a certain section of the church or the place where you worshipped? But now the Lord has dealt with you. You're more than happy to be able to say, to be the meanest, I'm content. But now, I say, conversion and repentance, they go hand in hand together. I say, we may well have thought we could see to all these matters ourselves and live uprightly and honestly before God and man, until the Lord showed to us the vileness of our heart, the presumptuous spirit that is within, whereby we ought to cry out for mercy, for pardon and forgiveness. But now you do not seek the things that you once sought, but I say you seek those things which is, we can be called a heavenly country. I say, how we may well have sought, did we not, a dwelling place, yea, plenty of grounds or great advantages which others haven't got, until the Lord shows to us how futile are all things here below. Even that godly man Solomon, who had so much of the riches of this life, in meditating of what there was about him, why, it was all vanity, vanity and vexation of spirit. It didn't do him any good in the end. Yea, in all his treasures, in all his investments, they may well have brought him misery and sorrow. But now, I say, he sees them in a different light. They are vanity and vexation of spirit. But those things you once despised, why, now you seek after and look to God for. Brought to say, yea, humbly before God, that there's nothing in this world you esteem more than the riches of the precious blood of Jesus Christ, which alone can wash away my sin. But now, friend, prior to this, did you recognize yourself to be a sinner, that you stood indeed in great jeopardy yet of your eternal existence as you stood, yea, equal to those of the world, yet who are without Christ and without God in the world? My friends, what a precarious position we stood in. But I say, but now the Lord does come and bring us by his mighty hand, yea, to worship at his footstool, to seek peace and pardon of all our sins. Oh, do when we think back of the past, how we couldn't bear to think of losing anything, or anything being broken, or falling to pieces. Why, those things will vex us and trouble us much. We may go to great lengths to put them right or to replace them. But now, those possessions you have, you pray to God that you might hold them fast, that they may hold you up in every hour, not thinking of what we possess here below, but rather what we possess eternally, but now. And I say, what do you hope to possess eternally? Can it be said you have that good hope through grace? It's a big question to answer, but it's not an unreasonable question to ask ourselves. Why but now is this your cry? Give me Christ, or else I die. But now, we might indeed have had desires years ago to be found in the opposite direction to the Lord Jesus Christ and his gospel. We may even in thought have said, oh, that I might live in the land of Nod and keep company with Cain. And what a solemn character that is. He went out, did he not, from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod, and that where God didn't dwell, or didn't put this way, he didn't choose to dwell. Yes, we're in a place where he leads poor sinners to their own devices, because that is the way they want it. Oh yes, that is the way they want it. They reject the goodness and the mercy of the Lord. But oh, the apostle here relates, but now they seek what? Why, they seek a better country, that is, an heavenly. I've often thought of this. They seek a better country. How souls like to reiterate and tell how they are moving house or the area and going to somewhere far, far better, and the advantages they will have, the things they will enjoy there. And I say, how solemn that is, if the Lord has come and show to us, what will it profit you? What will it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his never dying soul? There has been a great and immense change here. Well, what is, I say, repentance? What is repentance? It's not just change in the mind, it's changing the heart. But now they desire a better country, and only too willingly to leave that behind which they had previously idolized and were so proud of and would boast of before men. But now, oh, I say, how solemn that is when this is so. I was talking to a dear old minister of the gospel not long ago, where he was so pleased with the things that people said to him about his sons. But he said, oh, how now I have to pray for them, because how many had gone astray. And I dread indeed to meet some people, yea, who used to say such things to me. Oh, but now, if the Lord should touch their hearts, work mightily within them, they'll seek a better country. Yes, than what they've had heretofore. Far better than those things which have brought nothing but vanity and vexation of spirit. Yes, how true. As you know, I used to work in a spastic home, and it was my duty to drive the children out on occasions where they would seek to go into the country and have a picnic and so on, accompanied by the young teachers and the young house parents who looked after them. And we'd find when such occasions came before the summer holidays, they were all full of expectation, all vying one with the other that who should be going to the better place, the upmarket place, and so on. But when the Christmas summer holidays were over, how often there was a complete blanket cast over where they'd been. It was like a blanket of disappointment in their hearts. It hadn't lived up to what they hoped for. It hadn't brought them continued happiness. They spent a lot of money on that which could not bring lasting joys. I say, but how different to the child of God when he's taught. But no, they seek a better country, a country that they are entitled to go to. They'll be brought thereto by the Lord Jesus Christ, not at any price of their own, but at the price of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yea, alone can bring them there. Oh, but now, the Lord Jesus Christ gave us this counsel, did he not, and teach him. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I say, but now they do not seek salvation through their own merits and self-justification. They seek indeed that washing away of their sins through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And under that sense and conviction, they seek a better country, whose builder and his maker is God. The word holiness is a very important word, is it not, in the Christian's vocabulary. Some people will ridicule it and say they think themselves to be holy. But there's none holy, is there, in this world? Not one. But holiness God does surely expect and demand. I say, when thus taught and led in these truths, to feel we are completely unholy and unacceptable with God Almighty, surely we seek indeed a city and whose builder and maker is God. Why, an entrance into that place, yea, justified by what Jesus has done in us and for us. Yea, that which can cause us now to seek that country. I say, where Jesus is found in the midst, why do you seek indeed to see his face? Many have various views with regard to the heaven, that holy place. And it is one continuous view we need to remember. But in heaven, all men will be equal. Yes, equal. Because it won't make any difference if we vote only one sin or a million sins. Still we need to be redeemed from that sin, pardoned and forgiven. but we have nothing of our own, yet to redeem us from that sin. But oh, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, it cleanses us from all sin. And there's a great stress put on that word us in the original tongue. Yes, us. All the same. A great sea of people all standing before Almighty God on the same basis, singing unto Him, not unto us, not unto us, but unto His great and holy name be all honour and all glory. Yes, but now they seek a better country. And notice that the disciples, when left to themselves, they sought for preeminence, did they not? Even above their own fellow disciples. Who should be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Why, we read that He took a little child and set him in the midst, and thus He taught them at that time and teaches us now, that except ye be converted and become as a little child, ye shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. I say, but now, are you found amongst those who cry, Lord, make me like a little child? Nothing of myself to be importance, but Jesus Christ to be all in all to me. But now, oh, I say, we might. Men often speak about glowing and sometimes I find it terribly hard when people speak of the grow in the ministry. I think I know what they mean. I hope they don't really mean that they'll grow and improve and get better and better, because it's not so, is it? If we think that, we're deceiving ourselves and others too. But the Lord seeks to humble us under His almighty hand. We say, oh, but now I seek a better country. That is a heavenly, wherefore of God is not ashamed to be called their God. My friend, you think of it. He is not ashamed for those sinners who look upon Him by precious faith to be their God. He is not ashamed because He is their God, and He makes known He is their God because He is pardoned and forgiven all their sins. But now, this word but now, it surely brings home to us things have changed, or things have got to change. Things we can't change ourselves, but God indeed can change us. It is a good prayer, is it not? If nothing else, the Lord touches thy heart and He causes you to say, Lord, make me like a little child. Make me the least among all men. Oh, make me as one of thine. But now, what a wonder that is. We may have waited long, like those five wise virgins. They carried their lamps, but they had no supply of oil to be carried to put into those lamps. But the five foolish virgins, they had no reserve at all that which was needed. They had what was needed in their head, but they had nothing that was needed in their heart. Oh, I say, but now they saw how foolish they were, and that when they came and knocked at the door and cried that they might be let in, they were refused. But now the Lord does not refuse those people in whom He does give to them the spirit of grace and supplication to seek Jesus Christ and Him crucified, of whom God the Father does surely approve. This is the Father's will, that ye believe on Him whom He has sent. I found that an extremely searching word at one time in particular, because I thought and thought there might be a way around it. Too proud, my friends, to seek a hiding place. Too proud to be associated to Christ and rest and rely on Him alone. I say, but now, oh, what a mercy there is, not indeed to build up here below stores and great supplies, but I say to know that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And the Lord, He warns His disciples that, did He not? What shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his never dying soul? I say, what profit is that if the man loses all his possessions of this world? But I say, by His grace you win Christ as your Lord and Saviour. Oh, I say, wondrous work of grace there is. Yes, but now you have to say, let all the things on earth be gone, they cannot profit me. But oh, that I might be found in Him. Oh, how the apostle, he speaks so beautifully concerning that in the epistle to the Philippians. Oh, I say, but now they seek no more those things, but a better country. Let me come to this word, better country. Why is heaven so much better than this world here below? Well, first and foremost, because this world is now sin-cursed, and man has the responsibility of that. They cannot say it's God's fault. Indeed not. Oh, therefore they are made right willing in the day of His power to seek a country whose builder and whose maker is God. But now, why the change? Why the alteration of heart? Is this man unstable man in all his ways? Not so, my friend. The Lord has given to him stability, and therefore he casts all his desires behind his back. There's one thing that is needful. I say, how we need to be reminded. Yes, that you might seek a better country whose builder and whose maker was God. Yes, one thing they seek. It would be a mercy, would it not, if we be found amongst Mary and as one of our companions, as Jesus spoke to Martha about. Why? He said, Martha, Martha, thou art careful about many things. But one thing is needful. One thing is needful. And Mary had chosen that better part. All these other things, they're not needful. Indeed, it's not profitable for you to fret yourself and have such disturbance in mind and spirit because you feel that other people are not doing what they ought to do. Friend, when the Lord teaches us this, surely we're more than content to stand amongst those who are seeking a country, a better country, than what indeed we are so worried and concerned about. Oh, concern that all falls upon me. Oh, how often the Lord's dear people seem to stumble and fall in this direction. But the Lord has said, cast thy burden upon the Lord. Come unto me, O ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Rest, my friends. Oh, what a better country that is when we're brought into the kingdom of his grace, when we come under his rule and quite happy to be under his jurisdiction and his most holy laws. Yes, it is a better country. We have a better view. Yea, you have long-lasting thoughts of the future. Why, I can never be robbed. I can never be displaced. I can never indeed come to ruin here, because the Lord Jesus Christ cleanses us and preserves us from all sin. But now, yes, this word fastens on my heart and mind. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God. Does this humble thee? If God is not ashamed to be called their God, should we then be ashamed of Jesus? Ashamed of him who should be our friend and is our friend? I say, are we ashamed of him? Big question to ask, a big question to answer, but we can't answer it one for another. Oh, but now dost thou ask the Lord that he help us not to be ashamed of him, but to confess him in all the various walks of life. Yes, to walk in his ways and in all his requests. Yes, to walk in his ordinance and all his commandments. But now, I believe many have put much stress on the commandments being that of the Lord's table and the ordinance of baptism. Well, it is, of course. But I say, if grace abounds in our hearts, we should now want to be like our Master in every situation, doing his will, and concerned that what we do is in accordance with his will. But now the Lord has made that complete change within. And do I hear you say it this night? Choose thou the way and still lead on. Oh, bless his dear name, when his sacred influence is upon us to do nothing else but his will, instead of turning away from it, despising it. I say, and never, I say, to be ashamed of him, because we are doing his will. The world are not admirers of the Lord's people who do his will. Far from it. And they'll go out of their way to make life uneasy and unstable for us. Are we seeking to oblige them and to accommodate them? Friend, but now they seek to know the will of the Lord Jesus Christ. I just want to make a word in passing this evening, and it's this. We're so apt to retaliate or to hit back in the same spirit to those who indeed have no fear of God before their eyes, and thus find ourselves being insulted and sarcastically spoken to. My friend, but now, when the grace of God is in exercise, is it when they smite you on one cheek, offer them the other? But now, that's doing the Lord's will. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. That is the Lord's will. The Apostle Paul, speaking to the Hebrews, says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Oh, I say, I desire to humbly walk that road to heaven. For Jesus has said, if they say that your master has a devil, will they not say that you have a devil too? It is enough for the disciple to be as his master and the servant as his Lord. Friend, if they persecute them, they'll also persecute me, you. Oh, it is to be expected. And as one man puts it, your master's lot, you must expect temptations, more or less. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. What a thought. He's not ashamed, to have them in eternity, to dwell with him forevermore, that they might love him, they might speak of him, they may commune with him, yea, they may see him face to face, that he will surely take the veil away and we see him as he really is. Oh, my friends, what a truth there is that, when we had a glimpse of his sweet face, what wonders it did for us. And the one thing we know it was true, because we desire that he'll smile upon us again. Amen.
Trials must and will befall. but with humble faith the same, love inscribed upon the all. This is happiness to me. Hymn number 282.